I'm your host, Joan Griffith, and this show is called Talking About Jazz. And my guest today is guitarist Ben Abrahamson. I've known Ben for a long time, but what I really like about Ben is that he is a very adventurous composer, interested in combining a lot of different kinds of music into the general umbrella of jazz. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, Joan. It's great to be here.
I know that you do a lot of different things. You teach some, and you play in some different bands and compose some. So what are your projects at the moment?
I have a few different kind of settings that I play in. One of them is a guitar trio that I'm really excited about, although we lost one longtime member to Portland, Oregon. But currently the group is a guy named Park Evans and a guy named Thomas Nordland. And initially, I started it as kind of inspired by the guitar trio of Paco de Lucia and John McLaughlin and Al Di Meola and whole thing. Sure. But it's turned into this original music project.
Oh,
I'm
really exciting.
Really excited about.
Cool. Well, we have a number of different tunes to play today. And this first one, why don't you tell us the title and tell us a little something about it?
The title is Origanum, which is simply Latin for oregano. But it was kind of inspired by a guitarist named Ralph Towner.
Oh, sure.
Particularly he's playing on the 12-string guitar. And he plays in a group called Oregon. So it's inspired by a lot of the harmonies that he writes and improvises over on the 12-string in that ensemble kind of setting.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big Ralph Towner fan. Just and very interesting sounds in sort of an acoustic kind of arena. So, well, I'm going to pull this mic down and play a little mandolin on it. So, Arudo.
Sounds great. Thank you. Joan.
Beautiful, Ben.
Thank you. That's the mandolin sounds great on that one.
Thank you for letting me play the mandolin on that. That's a beautiful tune, and you told me that there's more of them, right? Is it a series?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of viewing the 12 string right now as a vehicle for composing some new tunes that I really wouldn't come up with otherwise, just because of the sonorities and the timbre, and so there's a kind of a whole series. Of tunes now that are very, let's say, harmonically adventuresome or jazz influenced in the chord structure, but more, a little bit more folky or traditional music sounding as far as the rhythm.
As the rhythm and the timbre. Yeah. And for our guitar heads out there, tell us a little bit about that tuning. What have you got there?
Yeah. So this, I'm tuned down to A, so a fifth below standard tuning, but it is the same set of relationships as standard, so kind of like in baritone range, a little bit below that.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Just play a little of that intro again, just so we can hear that without me messing it up. So. Yeah,
it's definitely a challenge to transpose everything and figure out, you know, how to play with other guitars or other instruments that are reading in C in standard,
right?
It's a musical kind of challenge, but
that is a musical challenge. You play a lot of different instruments, though. I mean, and you were saying that the sound kind of inspires you just as much as anything else, right?
I think that. You know, I kind of had this period where I was so heavily focused on technique and building musical concepts as far as improvising in a very complicated, dense kind of situation. And so at one point I kind of went back to just the sound of the instrument, the way it inspired me, you know, when I first picked up the guitar, because that was a very kind of simple and in the moment act. It sounded cool, and that was the whole point. It was making cool sounds. You know,
I'm only laughing because behind every musician is that moment where you just want to do it because it sounds cool, and then you kind of go down the technical rat hole, and you know, and hopefully you can always remember why it was cool that you did it. You know, and well, that's a totally cool song, Ben.
Thank you, Joan.
To do that. So we've been listening to Ben Abrahamson and playing an original tune inspired by Ralph Towner called Origanum. We're switching gears. We're both switching gears. I was just playing the mandolin, and Ben was playing the 12 string. And now we're going to both switch to a nylon 6 strings guitar, kind of a classical bass guitar is the way I think about it, even though we are plugged in and not going to play too much classical with anyway. And so what's this one's called? Nord Machine, Ben. What's this one about?
Really, I just started with the tune, and then there's always that moment when you have to think of a title, and so Nord Machine came to me partially as a pun on the electric piano sound. But also because of my friend Thomas Nordlund, who's another great jazz and improvised music kind of guitar player in town. And we've ended up playing this tune together, so it worked out.
And do you normally play these guys with two guitars or with a bass and rhythm section, or how's it go?
Been different combinations. In sometimes more of a traditional jazz combo setting. That's fun. But it's just been a sound that I'm exploring lately with the, you know, two or three guitars.
Two or three guitars, yeah. Well, that's an exciting sound, three guitars. There's no note unplayed at that rate. So this one is a swinger. I mean, it's got more of that traditional swing jazz feel. So Nord Machine, let's see what that's like. Counter off.
One, two,
Yeah, Ben.
Little studio fade at the end.
Studio fade in the studio. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the wonderful guitarist, composer, Ben Abrahamson, who is my guest today on our show called Talking About Jazz. I'm your host, Joan Griffith, and we're playing a bunch of different tunes by him and some not by him, but this one is called Nord Machine, and two guitars. Beautiful, Ben. It's always fun to one of the things I find fun about playing jazz with people is that you get to know them in a real interesting way, not so much by talking but by playing, you know. And so, you know, anybody who was listening to that cut could tell who was playing just from our different styles that we have. You know, I'm a more, you know, maybe traditional sort of sounding jazz player a little bit on the bossa nova side. And then, you know, your solo has got all those awesome flamenco-derived licks in it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your love affair with flamenco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it really started in high school when I had a record of actually Manuel de Falla music, but played by the great guitarist Paco de Lucia. And I heard that and I had no idea what it was, and it was crazy. And I thought that was flamenco. And then I started taking lessons with a guy named Michael Hauser in town, who's been pretty influential. He and his brother and a woman named Susana De Palma, pretty influential in bringing flamenco to Minneapolis and the Midwest. So I started taking lessons with him, which meant that you accompany flamenco dancing on the guitar. And that's a totally different world than, you know, improvising solos or playing a solo concert. It was totally pretty alien to me, pretty foreign, but very addictive, you know, because it's so exciting.
It is, yeah, it's exciting. Genre of music, I think. And I just saw you at the fair, accompanying the Zarango flamenco dance troupe. So I mean, we don't have people watching us in the studio, but one of the things that's interesting to me about flamenco is the right hand technique is very interesting and complicated and stuff. If you could maybe give us a little, you know, Rasquillado sound for just a second so people can remember what that sounds like. So
sure.
Yeah.
It kind of gets broken up into two different uses musically. One is to do almost like a drum roll and just do it continuously, which might sound like... and the other use is just to support the rhythm, you know, and to make it groove, basically. Is that kind of sound?
Exactly. You know, as a student of music, I always find it so interesting that you can kind of conjure up a whole culture just with a few notes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we're not going to mistake that for blues, for example. You know?
Right.
So anyway, very, very interesting. And you know, it's very interesting, Ben, you know, you tend to take our regular sounds of jazz and then throw that in addition to it. So, well, let's play another tune and then we'll mosey on. And we're going to play a tune called Samba Nova, which is a tune that I wrote a little while back because I'm kind of deep in the Brazilian bag. And I'm very flattered, Ben, that you want to play this. So, I mean, what draws you to the tune?
Well, I remember actually when you you had a CD release show from the album that this record this tune is from at the what was then the Artist Quarter, and I was at McAllister College at the time where I was taking, you know, jazz combos and jazz band with you, and it's kind of a formative moment as far as, you know, getting the music thing started and hearing tunes and just learning the value of groove,
mm-hmm,
and just really solid time.
Wow, that's that's really sweet. That's been a while now since that release party, but I'm really happy you want to play it, so let's just see how it goes. All right. One, two. Thank you. date, Ben. All right, Samba Nova. Yeah, it's always flattering when somebody else wants to play your song, so thank you.
I feel the same way.
So much. And, you know, I did know you when you were a student at Mac, which has been a while now, and you've been out making your way in the world. And I know that you're teaching some too, right? So mm-hmm. Where are you teaching and what you doing?
So a lot of my private students are at a place called the Linden Hills House of Music in South Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of actually middle, you know, lower and middle school students, a lot of beginning guitar, some kids who really want to learn the rock and roll thing, and some AC/DC solos, which is always fun. And then they bring in, you know, the songs that are popular now that they're listening to, a lot of which I'm not familiar with, so it's good for me.
It's so easy to get out of date, isn't it? It happens right away. Now, you know, I too have been teaching for a long time, and I always feel like I learn a lot. I mean, it seems like I learn more than I teach. At least it feels that way to me. And do you feel like you learn stuff from your students when they come in?
Definitely. You know, other than just the aspect where you learn how to communicate better when it's not working, and oftentimes it doesn't work and you have to figure out a different route. And it's not about it's not about the student not listening or not getting it. It's about you explaining it to them where they're at, and so they can grasp it and enjoy it. But I also, musically, I feel like I learn a lot about, you know, what's, like I said, what popular songs are out now and what the writing is, what the songwriting's like now, which is really valuable.
Yeah, no, I think so too.
And what sticks in their heads, you know.
And what's stuck in their head lately that's been interesting to you?
There are a lot of, there are a couple songs by Fallout Boy, which are really popular right now with the middle school boys. They love the Fallout Boy stuff.
Okay.
It's very anthemic and exciting, and it's kind of like an action movie.
Right. So. Well, there you go. Yeah. In the trenches teaching, all kinds of stuff comes up, that's for sure. Yeah, I also feel that in... You know, you seem like I've always seemed like a really natural guitar player, like you had a lot of ability at first. And sometimes I think that when it's like that, it's hard to learn how to communicate, how to do simple things. You know, it's not so easy to other people. And have you found that?
Yeah. You know, somebody was telling me recently, kind of along those lines, that it's the things that you do most intuitively that are the most difficult to explain, because you don't. You know, whereas if you're struggling with something and you're in the process of really getting it together, you're actually in a very good position to talk somebody else through it, because you know what the challenges are like.
That's right. So take heart, people that feel like it's hard going. You know, you'll probably end up being a fabulous teacher of that. So anyway, I'm in the studio at KBEM. I'm Joan Griffith, your host to a show called Talking About Jazz, and my guest is the guitarist Ben Abrahamson. And I have another tune in front of me here that you wrote, which has a very Spanish-looking name to it. So why don't you tell us what's up now?
This is a tune called Jale Tanguillos, which is just a mixture of the names of two different rhythms, jaleos and tanguillos, both of which have this kind of this 6/8, 3/4 groove going on. And this is the chords are kind of a little bit, I wouldn't say they're a take on, but the tune is kind of my attempt at a tune like Ziryab by Paco de Lucia, which has this 6/8 groove, and then they improvise over the top of chord changes in a very jazz kind of manner. And he was working with, you know, Chick Corea and other people at that time too, so it makes sense. But it's got that Spanish Phrygian thing going on at the same time, so it's a cool blend.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jale Tanguillo, is that correct? Okay. Well, why don't you count that one off for us, Ben? Thank you.
Joan.
You're stretching me, Ben. You're making me play these chords that I don't usually play on my daily basis, but that's a beautiful thing. It's called Yale Tangio.
Hale
Tangio. And my guest is Ben Abrahamson. We are at KBM Studios. The show is talking about jazz, and I'm your host, Joan Griffith, who's trying to play these chords, which I normally don't. But very cool, Ben. That solo section, you know, it's got a lot of different chords that not necessary. I would have to spend a little time looking to see how related they are to each other. But what are you thinking about with that solo section? How's that structured in your mind?
Overall, I'm thinking a few different cadences that, you know, kind of like resting spots harmonically that fall not on a major chord that we'd be used to, but on this Spanish Phrygian kind of sounding chord, which is actually, you know, that combination of notes is probably something that, you know, you'd be playing in a jazz tune in a different spot in the tune, having a different function.
Well, and I
not
think
as that, a resting place.
Right. And that idea that this is the home bass chord. That's the end of the tune. That's the end. It is the end. That's a disorienting thing to a person who's mostly played classical in that Western tradition, and jazz, which is so rooted in that same kind of root movement. It just messes it up. So, you know, kind of briefly, I mean, how come the Spaniards have this different setup? I mean, there's a history there, is there not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it comes through this fusion of, you know, Spanish, which you think of as Western music, with Arabic music, you know, music from the Moors who were in Spain for about 900 years or so, and the playing of the oud, and Jewish music at the time, and other music that, you know, basically comes from the Gypsy or the Roma people, who don't really have one country of you know, I mean, there are Roma people in Spain, obviously Gypsies in Spain, in France, in other places. And they originally come kind of from the north of India, I believe.
Right.
So there are all these different countries and regions that have kind of contributed to that sound. You know, flamenco today is actually not that old, as, you know, most people would recognize the art form. Only a few hundred years, you would think it'd be a lot older, but the combination of influences is a lot older than that.
Right. So it's truly is a world music and a fusion of different styles and so evocative, you know. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful discipline, and it, for the most part, I mean, when you play flamenco guitar, the tradition is to play it in a group with dancers and singers, is it not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And solo flamenco is really kind of new, isn't it? The idea of solo guitar.
Yeah, it's pretty new. A guy named Ramon Montoya, Sabicas, Paco de Lucia.
Yeah.
Are guys that really popularized and kind of codified the language as far as a solo instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But traditionally, it's accompaniment to dancing and to singing. There's improvising in there, but in a very different form than you'd have in jazz.
Right. Now, I know in certain circles, you know, there are such thing as you know, like jazz purists and bluegrass purists. And sometimes I'm guilty of being a little bit of a Brazilian purist, but I'm trying to not be that way. Are there flamenco purists out there?
Oh, certainly.
Old school?
Yeah. I mean, there are people even today who criticize the whole Paco de Lucia, fusion aspect of things. But, I mean, there are people today who still criticize Bob Dylan for going electric. You know, it's kind of this, it's been done. You know, it's already had such an impact on the discipline. So we're stuck with it, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, it's been done. Exactly right. Well, I, for one, think it's really wonderful that, you know, that you're looking at jazz as, you know, like even Wynton Marsalis talks about, it's a roux, you know, a soup that everybody, a gumbo that everybody throws stuff into. And, playing with you stretches me. And I'm sure that, you know, there's some listeners out there going, whoa, I don't know if I'd ever heard flamenco in jazz before, even though there has been some stuff done. So kudos to you, Ben.
Thanks,
you're
John.
On the frontier here.
Well, I imagine it's a little bit analogous to some of the samba musicians that you've been talking about, or samba songwriters these days. Who are just doing crazy things with it that maybe from an outsider's perspective we wouldn't necessarily know or think of as, you know, what is that? Is that samba even?
There's a lot of, you know, sort of hip hop samba artists now, and, you know, very exciting developments, you know, in the genre. And, I think what's interesting about flamenco, too, is that no matter kind of what you add to it, you can still hear the character, the echoes of the ancestors, as it were, that are in there. So, well, and even if you can't, as you said, it's been done. So I love that. So, Ben, I have another tune up here by you. This one is called Parallax. And I can see that you have changed guitars back to that beautiful 12-string you have. Mm-hmm. So tell me about this one.
This really is just one of those tunes that came out of being inspired by the sound of the instrument and picking it up again after a long time, which I hadn't played it. I used to learn a lot of kind of traditional finger picking material on the 12 string, and Leo Kottke and John Fahey and Lang and all those guys. And just the sound of that 12 string tuned down quite a few steps below standard tuning. It's kind of inspiring. And I think some of those more traditional American folky kind of influences came out in this, or maybe an Irish jig or something, at least in the rhythm. But a lot of the chord structure, again, comes from Ralph Towner and that whole harmonic language.
Yeah. No, I think it's I love the sound of that. I do a lot of performing with Ann Reed, and she almost exclusively plays her beautiful 12-string as well, you know, and it just has it does have an inspiring sound. You know, it doesn't sound like just a acoustic steel or anything else. It's with all those octaves in there. It's a really, and especially down low, it's like a 12-string with extra 12-string soul or something. So, all right. So Parallax, does the title mean something to you?
Only the fact that I looked on the internet for a name for the piece. I was desperate.
Desperate.
For something to call it other than here's a jig kind of rhythm, but it sounds like a Bluria, and that wasn't too
it was too long,
right,
for the album release. Well, you are listening to Ben Abrahamson on the show Talking About Jazz. I'm your host, Joan Griffith, and we're going to play a tune of his called Parallax. So count her off, Ben. One, two, three. Oh, great, Ben.
Yeah, Joan.
You're stretching me over here.
Thanks for playing it.
So that was a tune by Ben Abrahamson called Parallax. Ben is my guest in the KBM studio. The show is talking about jazz, and I'm your host, Joan Griffith. And our show tries to kind of showcase people with really great playing and interesting voices and sometimes composers. And we are playing in the studio. We're just sitting here looking at the chart, hoping for the best on my part. So great tune, Ben. That's, again, it's such an interesting fusion of kind of a traditional sounds and with very non-traditional kinds of harmonies in there with the, you know, like this chord on the solo. You know, that's one of my favorite chords, but I just don't usually see it in this context.
Or you might be playing half of it on the bass on some
or something. Kind of... Yeah, it's just the sequence and the it's just great. It's like having a new voice on an older form or an older sound. So Parallax. Well, good. Mm-hmm. And do you have these guys recorded? Is that something in your plans to make a recording and release on your own?
Yeah, so. Actually, a few of these. I recorded with this guitar trio that I was talking about, Park Evans, and at that time a guy named Nick Champeau, who moved to Portland. But it was we did that in the studio over at IPR.
Oh, sure.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We recorded a few tunes, and they sounded great. Kevin Bowe recorded us. It was really fun. And so we've been using those as kind of demo or promotional material at this point, but I would love to bring the tunes back into the studio and really mm-hmm. maybe overdub some parts or really flesh them out.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, a long-term prospect.
Well, I'll be waiting for that myself. I'll be first in line when you get those together. Well, we have another tune here. Now, this one, we have to switch instruments again, don't we? Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben, what is that sound? Just strum a little for us there.
Sure.
All right.
You might recognize this. My dog has fleas, yeah, as exactly. We all learned at some point. This is a tenor ukulele. Probably a kind of an unusual setting for it, as far as the music that we're about to play, but...
The ukulele has, to me, it's really had such a resurgence in the last 10 years or so. I mean, the first string instrument I ever laid my hands on was a ukulele, and just love that, you know. And This Land Is Your Land was my favorite song, probably. It's, you know, it's another instrument that has you just play even the open tuning and people get the right feeling about the instrument itself. So have you been playing this very long?
About 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Been working at it. You know, some of the guitar information and language and vocabulary definitely translates, and some of it is new because the tuning, I guess the best way to put it is that it's kind of out of order as far as a guitarist's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah,
a high string that's first,
right,
kind of,
and then
like
there's a low string. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it gives a different feeling to the chords you already know how to play. So cool. So this tune, it's called Trad Bounce 1. Is there mm-hmm. a Trad Bounce 2?
Yeah, there's a whole series of these.
Cool.
That really, again, you know, tunes that came out of being inspired by the sound of the instrument. So I had this ukulele and a bunch of these tunes that almost sound like fiddle tunes or something came out of that. And then, you know, more recently I've actually been learning some fiddle tunes
to
broaden that vocabulary. Yeah.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Oh, that's...
But this is an original composition with a fiddle tune flavor to it.
With a fiddle tune flavor. Okay, so Trad Bounce 1. All right, Ben, counter off.
Let's see. Two. There it is.
Oh, that's great, man. It took me it's like the sound, it takes a minute to wrap your head around it. And some way, it's like, wow. You know, I'm not used to hearing a ukulele sound quite like that, you know. And so if you just turned in, that was Ben Abrahamson playing a tune called Trad Bounce. With me, Joan Griffith, on guitar. The show is Talking About Jazz. It's KBM. And so, Ben, you were saying that you have been practicing some fiddle tunes on there. Can you give us a little demonstration?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. I'm putting you on the spot, but just out of curiosity.
Shady Grove arrangement.
Very nice. Well, there you go. Jake, look out. He's coming for you. Oh, that's beautiful, Ben. Well, hopefully, maybe at some point you could come back and we can play more trad bounces. That would be just great. Ben, thank you so much for coming in today. That was beautiful.
Thanks for having me. It's been really fun. Yeah, it's been really
new
fun.
New songs and making me work over here, learning a bunch of new stuff, which is a wonderful thing to have new music at all, but new music that our folks out there can listen to and maybe get their imaginations going on stuff and adding to this the general canon of what jazz can be, you know. And so anyway, the show is called Talking About Jazz. I'm your host, Joan Griffith, and my guest today has been the multi-instrumentalist and multi-talented Ben Abrahamson. So thanks, Ben, so much.
It's been so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you bet.